Jesus was tempted because he was human just like us. And we are tempted because it just seems to go with our human nature. That's why Jesus included this petition in the prayer that he taught us: "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." A 3-year-old child was being taught by her parents to say the Lord's Prayer. Each evening at bedtime, Mom or Dad would repeat the lines of the prayer until she finally seemed to have it memorized. So the evening came when the child decided that she could say it all by herself. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," and so on, every line perfect, until she came to the petition, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from email." She didn't know perhaps too much about evil, but she knew about the annoyance of email. The Heidelberg Catechism teaches that on our own we are unable to resist temptation. In answer to the question, what does it mean when we pray, "Lead us not into temptation," the Catechism gives this answer: by ourselves we are too weak to hold our own even for a moment, and our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us. And so the Lord upholds us and makes us strong with the strength of his Holy Spirit, so that we may not go down to defeat in this spiritual struggle, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. Temptation is anything that tries to persuade or influence or compel us to do something we know is wrong. And when we are able at times, with God's help, to resist evil, it seems that the devil lies in wait for another opportunity. He always comes back. Perhaps a good place to start today in our text is to look at that final verse. The devil has just tempted Jesus, trying to persuade him to turn away from his mission to establish God's kingdom on earth and entice him to use his divine power for selfish purposes. But Jesus stood up to the devil by relying on the Spirit that was with him and on God's word in the Scriptures. And then it says in the last verse of today's text, verse 13, when the devil had finished every test, the devil departed from Jesus until an opportune time. He would be back. He was not finished. What made Jesus 40 days in the wilderness an opportune time for the devil to test Jesus? Maybe that line at the beginning of the text explains it. He ate nothing at all during those 40 days, and when they were over, he was famished. And who wouldn't be? And what happens when you're really hungry? Well, of course, you feel weak. But you're also on edge, a little ornery, a little impatient. Jesus found himself in that situation, and that's when the devil came to test him. That was the opportune time. The devil looked for that vulnerable moment to get at Jesus, the same way the devil tries to get at us. At opportune moments, when we're down, when we're weak, when we're hungry, when we're sick, when we're suffering, when we're worried. That's when the devil sees an opportunity. C.S. Lewis, in his book Screwtape Letters, reminded us that the devil is an opportunist. Now, we might wonder, as we try to understand this story, whether Jesus really could have yielded to temptation, that he could have gotten so weak that he could have given in to the devil. For we believe, do we not, that Jesus was not just a human being like us. He was also divine. He was the Son of God. So was there not some kind of divine fail-safe system built into his humanity that surely protected him from yielding to temptation? Well, theologically, the church has not understood Jesus in that way. If I am right about this, the Orthodox teaching is that Jesus' divine nature and his human nature remain separate. His divine nature did not make his human nature any less vulnerable. Jesus was not like Clark Kent in the Superman movie, who only appeared to be a mild-mannered person, but who underneath was able to resist bullets and be protected from any physical harm. You might remember the movie. Clark Kent saw his blood for the first time only after he gave up his superhuman powers to marry Lois Lane. And when a bully slugged Clark in the mouth, the blood that dripped from his lips was something that he had never seen before. Well, Jesus was not like Superman. Someone put it this way: his humanity was not supercharged, and his divinity was not watered down. His human nature did not make him any less divine, and his divine nature did not make him any less human. Now, I admit this is difficult to explain. But the point of the story of Jesus' temptation, I believe, is not that we simply admire Jesus for his willpower and strength because he was of a divine nature, but it gives us hope because he also was fully human. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God to resist temptation is available to us in the same way that it was available to Jesus. We read in the book of Hebrews, "For we do not have a high priest, Jesus, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." So even though we lack what Jesus possessed, a divine nature to coexist with his human nature, it may be that Jesus had no special advantage on the human side. He was just like us. And therefore, we can tap into the same power of the Holy Spirit to strengthen and guide us. And we have that same Word of God that Jesus used to instruct him. Temptation is everywhere. We see it played out in the newspaper headlines. I live in Hudson County, and you remember some time ago, some 40 elected political employees and government officials were caught receiving bribes and doing all kinds of political favors for cash. And one of my sports heroes, Lance Armstrong, recently admitted to using prohibited drugs in his competitions. The list could go on and on, but it's easy to pick on celebrities and people in the public eye, isn't it, when they fall to temptation. But our experience with temptation, you know, goes back to our childhood. Our mother would warn us not to climb up on the kitchen counter to reach for the cookie jar, just like God warned Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But we did it anyway. Or when we were a little older, we were told to be home by 11 o'clock, but our friends' curfews weren't until midnight. And so we figured Mom and Dad would be asleep, so we slipped quietly in the back door at midnight. But there our father was waiting for us. And we were grounded for the next weekend. We meet up with temptation every day of our lives whenever the devil sees an opportunity. Cheating a little in school, turning off the alarm and going back to sleep when we know we have things to do, taking a second dessert, cursing the idiot driver who cuts us off in traffic, not speaking up when we see something wrong. Have I mentioned yet any of your temptations? I heard a story about Mildred the church gossip. That was her temptation. She liked to stick her nose into other people's business. The church didn't approve of her behavior, but everyone was afraid to say anything because Mildred might start a rumor about them. But one day she made the mistake of accusing George, a new church member, of being a drunk, which he wasn't, of course. Evidently, she saw his pickup truck parked by the corner tavern one afternoon, and so she started this rumor that George drank too much. Well, George was a man of few words, and he didn't try to explain or defend himself. But late one evening, George parked his pickup truck right in front of Mildred's house and walked home. He left his truck parked there all night. Well, it was a small town, and rumors spread about Mildred and her supposed misbehavior. Her temptation to gossip caught up with her. The story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness came very early in Jesus' ministry. The devil was lying in wait for every opportunity to drive a wedge between Jesus and the Father in heaven, to put his own needs first. "You are the Son of God. Command this stone to become a loaf of bread." To use his power for political gain. "The kingdoms of this world that I rule be yours if you honor my authority." To use God for his own success and popularity. "You can jump off the temple steeple, for it's written in the scriptures that God's angels will protect you." No doubt from his youth, Jesus memorized the scriptures. To each temptation, he was able to use the word of God as his defense. "One does not live by bread alone. Only the Lord God shall be worshipped and served. Do not put God to the test." The point is that we don't need to memorize scripture, but we need to learn the character of God and his love for us, and his promise to be with us when we are tempted, and to be aware that God is near us. The focus of the season of Lent is to increase our awareness of God with us, and to strengthen our faithfulness and obedience to God's word. In some Christian traditions, there is a practice of giving up something for Lent for the sake of thinking less about self or of having more time to seek God in our lives. I think there is something important in the fact that Jesus fasted and prayed during his time in the wilderness. In one sense, he was willing to become weak, but in another sense, for the purpose of becoming strong with his Father in heaven. He was willing to forego some of his physical needs in order to listen more intently to God. And I would encourage any of you to try this, if not to go on a complete fast, but to abstain perhaps from something or certain things during Lent. Some Christians abstain from meat during Lent or on Fridays, or in a more token way, people give up chocolates or desserts or alcohol or coffee during Lent. I read about someone who decided to give up putting cream in her coffee. But 2 weeks later into Lent, she confessed that she had grown to like her coffee black. So it wasn't really a fast for her, and not really any kind of a sacrifice. Maybe instead of giving up coffee, cream, or our desserts, we might give up a little bit of our TV watching or our time on the internet or our going through our endless emails or anything that just wastes time on ourselves. But instead, give this time to God. Give more time to focus on God, to spend a little time each day in uninterrupted prayer and Bible reading. Or take 10 minutes to call someone who might need some cheering up, or doing something, doing some volunteer work to help someone else. God, by His Holy Spirit, is here to help us in whatever temptations we face in our lives. And we have His Word to teach us. Yes, the devil will be back again and again, but we can pray with confidence, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now to Him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.